excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
If we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best
of friends. Moron, your bus is leaving. Turning our way, and our way
on the road again. Welcome to this Fresno State edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford, reporting to you on the way home from the Fresno State game on September 3rd. I want to thank everybody for their feedback on the blog about how this podcast has changed for the upcoming year. I think what we're going to do is we're going to go with a similar format to as before, but unedited, where I'm just going to speak off the top of my head, and you'll get to hear the various stutters and such that I usually edit out. So, please give me feedback after you've heard this as to whether you like the new format. It does save me a fair amount of time because editing out all the little bits, particularly the things on the freeway, it takes some time. So, a quick recap of the game. It really looked ugly when things started off because the Bears got the ball, and not two plays later did Keenan Allen throw an interception. Hard to tell whose fault that was. Keenan Allen was clearly throwing a ball expecting Marvin Jones to do a cut in, but he was not planning to do that. Now, whether that was miscommunication in the huddle or whether one of the two of them forgot the play, hard to tell. So, not really something that you would say, though, that you would hold against Keenan Allen from a making a bad throw standpoint or a bad decision, something more logistical in nature. But nevertheless, the Bulldogs got the ball right away, and with such a short field, I think the defense wasn't even really ready to play yet, and they came out and scored a quick touchdown and were up 7-0. But from that point on, it was all Bears. The only issue they had on their next three drives was they couldn't seem to kick a extra point, not until the third touchdown anyway. And that put the Bears up 19-7, which was the score until late in the second quarter when a errant snap deep in the red zone forced the Bears to try to cover up on and just get a safety, but fumbles and the such gave the Bulldogs their second touchdown, having the halftime score 19-14 Bears. The Bears opened it up from there, extended to 33-14 in the second half. And then I'm forgetting whether the field goal to get to 36 or the touchdown when the second string defense was in came first. But the final score was 36-21 Bears. Overall, there's a lot to feel good about in the game. Obviously, the Bears did many good things during the game. Keenan Allen was impressive. There's no doubt he is going to be a capable quarterback. He made very few errors. He made lots of good decisions. He ran well with the ball. He had touch when he needed to have touch. He could throw a laser when he needed to throw a laser. He seemed to be reading the field well. I mean, all in all, a very strong performance from him, and really had great poise all throughout the game. I mean, there was one play that really impressed me. Everything broke down. He was running back and forth two or three times trying to get an opening, and it just wasn't there. And he smartly threw the ball out of a scramble, out of bounds, to just live another day. Where an inexperienced quarterback would have tried to run for it, tried to maybe get back some of the lost yards unsuccessfully, and ended up with a sack with a loss of 10 or 15 yards. But he was smart enough to know that wasn't going to happen, and he threw the ball away. So, really, there was a lot to be happy with in his performance. And generally speaking, the rhythm of the offense was pretty good. It was really nice to finally be in a situation where 3rd and 10 didn't feel like a death sentence as it has so much during the last 2 to 3 years when the offense hasn't been clicking. To be able to, you know, have a 50-50 shot that a pass will be complete on 3rd and 10 was really nice. The running game was not brilliant, but it was acceptable. I think Cefeli is going to do fine. The issues I saw in the running game were not with Cefeli, but more so with the offensive line. The offensive line did pretty well in pass protection, but they didn't do as good with the run defense. Now, there's a big caveat in that. I saw in this Bulldog team a team that was loading the box very heavily. They remind me a bit of how Oregon State tends to play the Bears. And when the Bears can break through it, when they can use their passing game to beat Oregon State down the field, they tend to win those games, and they tend to win big with lots of big plays and lots of long passes. But when they can't, they feel really stifled at the line, and just nothing's happening, and none of the underneath stuff is working. And Fresno State seemed to play the same sort of gambling, we're going to stop you at the line of scrimmage, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't work, we're going to get thrashed defense. And it's a little bit their style, I think, you know, that play anyone, anytime, anywhere strategy that they have definitely lends itself to a, you know, going all out even and not being so conservative. So to some degree, that mitigates some of the frustration with seeing the offensive line not opening holes consistently. But then on the other hand, there were plenty of plays where they opened very nice holes, and so I felt reasonably okay with the rushing attack. So between a revived passing game where the biggest issue was dropped balls, although there were a number of very good catches, and a running game that although maybe not as consistent as one would like, definitely seemed to have a lot of potential, you really had to feel that this offense was getting things on track. The defense actually played exceptionally. It was hard to think of it that way because of the 14 points, but those 14 points didn't come from the defense, really. I mean, that 16-yard touchdown to open the game is such a short field. The defense played a little bit over gambling and gave up the touchdown, but really that doesn't go on their backs. That goes on the interceptions' responsibility. And then, of course, the other one, the defense was never on the field. It was a fumble in the end zone for a touchdown. So it was not until the fourth quarter when the second string players were all in. In fact, I found it kind of humorous. There was a play where the entire second string defense substituted out and the entire first string defense came in their place to try to hold the stand at the 5-yard line. And they didn't do it there either. But I found that a little bit humorous to see that happen. But really that meant that third touchdown was not on the first string defense as well. So they didn't give up any points, in a letting Fresno State drive down the field kind of way. In fact, before that third touchdown, they'd only given up about 140 yards of offense for Fresno State. So there's a lot to feel really good about that defense. I felt like they played very well against an offense from Fresno State that, while not great, wasn't exactly weak either. They seemed to have some potential there, and the Bears very much shut things down. So, I mean, in the big picture, there's a lot to feel good about, but what was disconcerting was the rust. There was definitely plenty of rust today. The penalties were really troubling. The false starts, the holdings, there were a couple of big plays that were called back by penalties. I mean, I felt like I was watching Arizona State at a couple of times. It's just really not a very strong penalty performance for the Bear offense. I think they would have been even more productive if it weren't for their penalty issues. But that's something I think has a little bit to do with that first game, the rust coming off. I'm really hopeful that it won't be a continual problem. And it really seemed the offensive line was the biggest issue there with penalties. Another thing that Maynard did a great job recovering from in all but the two worst cases was Gallus's snaps. At center, he was throwing some real curveballs at Maynard. Things that really, it were really beyond what he should have been catching. But somehow he did a great job of snatching those out of the air, keeping his eyes downfield and throwing good balls. But Gallus is definitely going to have to work on his snaps and pronto, because we can't have the kind of performance he had today and have consistent offensive performance. So that was really troubling. The missed extra points. I mean, as much as it didn't end up being a factor in the game, and it was the two first extra points, all the rest of them went fine, that was a bit troubling. So it felt like a lot of these things are the rust coming off, and maybe it was the perfect game to work these out, and now they'll have tons of film to go look over and really pour through these things. There's nothing like playing a game. You really cannot simulate a game in practice. The nerves aren't the same, the effort isn't the same. It's just not the same. So you expect some of that in the first game, although there was more of it than I would have liked to have seen. Another area that was a bit troublesome was the running game was entirely Sofelli. It felt like last year with Vereen, where we didn't see much at all of the second and third string guys. Dubosky only had one carry, and it was for 0 yards. Now, maybe he got injured or something I didn't appreciate, but assuming that that wasn't the case, that it was just a matter of Sofelli taking the load, we can't have that. We need the 1-2 punch, and just as Vereen very much tailed off at the end of last year because so much weight was put on his shoulders, the same thing was going to be true of Sofelli, who was much tougher than I expected him to be today. But we need better than that. We cannot afford to have him carry the entire load on with the running game. Some minor issues of complaints for me. The rugby punts for Brian Anger. I just don't get it. Why would we ever have that guy with that leg do a rugby punt? There's no need for it. And to be honest, he's not that good at it. Let the guy unleash and punt the ball. Make him punt it higher and shorter if you have to. But he's shown more recently very good control. And here you're having him do rugby punts, you know, half of the time. And I just don't get it. There is no need for it. It's very frustrating to me. I think it feels actually like a disaster waiting to happen. I don't feel like the blocking schemes are really well set up for it. It just feels like a mistake, and I don't get why we're seeing this out of our special teams. And in fact, in general, special teams were our biggest problem today. I mean, we had those missed extra points. Tavecchio also, did he lose 5 yards in his kickoffs in the offseason? Because they were going around the 10, some at the 15. He had that one that only made it to the 25. And we'd finally gotten to where we had seen some consistency out of him. So I'm a little surprised by that. But again, another area where special teams was not that great. The downfield coverage on kickoffs was good. I must say I felt good about that. They were closing the holes very quickly and collapsing on Fresno State's return game. So that felt good, but the punts were kind of mediocre. Anger really only had one good punt, although that's because they didn't let him. He was doing those ridiculous rugby punts. The kickoffs were weak. The extra points were missed. The one field goal attempt was good. That was nice to see. But overall, a very weak special teams performance. The other thing, and, you know, the score ended up being close enough that I'm not going to feel too harsh about this, but this is a generic Tedford issue. He leaves in the first-string offense too late in games that are pretty much already done. Now, the defense, they substituted in, and yes, they gave up one more touchdown, but okay, it doesn't much matter. And it wasn't like the first-string offense was on fire after late in the game. You could kind of tell they were settling in. Why didn't we see more backups? Now, I wasn't checking the lines. Maybe we did see more backups on the lines, and maybe that was part of the issue. But we definitely didn't see Bridgeford come in and get some time throwing the ball. We definitely didn't see more of our running backs in there running plays. No, it was still Sofelli and Maynard in there. And also the same with the wide receivers. We saw a little bit more there, but you still saw Marvin Jones and Keenan Allen out there a lot as well. And I just didn't feel like that was appropriate when the Bears, particularly after they were up 36-14, I'm remembering more closely now, they did get that touchdown, or that field goal, to be up three full scores and a two-point conversion with about 10 minutes left in the game. That's the time to start thinking about putting in some second stringers. And, you know, God forbid if Maynard goes down, we need Bridgeford to have some time under his belt so that, you know, we feel a lot better about him. So hopefully we're going to see a lot more of that, particularly in week three. And if next week goes well against Colorado, which I'll talk about in a minute, maybe that'll give him more opportunity there. But I just don't see it. Tedford plays it very conservative. And as far as keeping his first string in, and that comes to bite you when you need those second stringers later. Just as good of a point as any, of course, to talk about Tedford and the offense. You could definitely see in how things were going how much more active and involved he is. You could see it in the diversity of plays. It didn't feel as one-dimensional and conservative as some of the things we've seen in the past. Now, there were some moments where you're like, okay, we're running the ball because we're up, you know, a couple of touchdowns, the old Tedford thing, but really, in the big picture, there was a lot of diversity, a lot of different sorts of plays, a little bit more ingenuity, a little creative things happening. You could see that training that Tedford gives his quarterbacks in Maynard. So I really felt like his fingerprints were there, and maybe the fingerprints of the rest of his offensive staff that are back, but it was there. I mean, even when things weren't going that well, I felt like there was something meaningful happening. So I guess that's about all I have to say for this week's game. And nice to see the win. The Bulldogs are not the same team they were before, but they always come to play. They, as was shown from that first interception and touchdown. They want to win these games. These are a big deal to them. Almost too big of a deal. They probably should focus on winning the WAC more often. So, you know, it was good to see the team rebound from early adversity. That was nice. They didn't seem to let that touchdown bother them much at all. And that was really good. So now we travel to Colorado, and if we can win that game, I think we're set up in a really good position for the season as we continue on. I think this is going to be a tougher game. The Colorado-Hawaii game hasn't started yet, or at least not when I last checked. So we don't know how Colorado is performing yet, but new head coach, new system, seems like a lot more intensity coming. I think it's going to be a lot tougher game for the Bears than last year. So, I don't know. I just, I'm worried about that game on the road. What I saw today out of this team, if you get rid of the mistakes, I think they win the game. But if they play as mistake-prone as they did today, it could be tight, it could be tough, and depending on how the ball bounces, they could easily lose. So, I sure hope that the Bears come out ready to play, and they're going to be at altitude. They're going to get winded more quickly. Their depth is going to matter. It's going to be, you know, well, it really depends how much Colorado's turned the corner. It might be they haven't turned the corner at all. So we'll find out next week. But until then, I'll sign off, and we'll do another on-the-road home podcast from my house after the Colorado game. And, of course, Jason and I should do our midweek podcast as well. So thanks for listening. Please give me feedback on what you think of this unedited format. And go Bears. On the road again.